Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Goop Yourself, the podcast where we talk about everything goop. I'm Brian Rucker.
I'm Agnes Hewitt.
I said just before we started recording, I think I'm going crazy. And I am. I realized part of it is because, well, I was driving back from the desert this morning because I went to a tennis tournament yesterday. And I had, for the first time in maybe 2 to 3 years, I had a Red Bull.
Oh my God. Just for the drive.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they have, this is how long it's been since I've had a Red Bull. They have like Red Bull Zero now, which is different than sugar-free Red Bull.
How is it different?
I think it's made with sucralose instead of aspartame. It's just a difference between Diet Coke and Coke Zero.
I see. Okay.
Whatever it was, it tasted fucking amazing.
Oh my god!
I also like stopped and got donuts on the way back in.
Oh my god, that is a breakfast of champions.
And yeah, my week's just been insane. In general,
yeah. So how long were you in? And also before that, you were at the Oscars.
I know. Well, yeah. So last week on the Patreon, I did say to everyone before I was going to the Oscars. But if you didn't hear that episode, I'll just be really quick. I won this like random online contest on Twitter last year because they did like a fan favorite award, which was like the stupid Snyderverse thing that won. And the idea was they're picking people off of Twitter who like just tweeted their favorite movies, their fan favorite movies, to present the fan favorite award at the following Oscar. So I won that contest. So I was originally supposed to present an award at the Oscars.
Which is huge.
Unfortunately, they decided, and this is, you know, I quote the exact email I got. They decided to go in a different direction. As, you know, we've all gotten lots of those emails before.
But the fan favorite, I don't think the fan favorite went the way that anybody
thought
it would.
And by the time they knew too, because it's funny, because I voted sort of half jokingly for this movie called Bad Luck Banging or Loony Porn, which was like this Romanian sex comedy that was not nominated for any Oscars. And the other guy that won, he told me he voted for Titan, the movie where the woman fucks the car, French movie. So both of us obviously were, at first I thought I was just chosen completely at random, but then when I saw what he chose, I was like, oh no. They wanted some cinephiles. They didn't want any Snyderverse guys to present those Oscars.
Interesting. Okay, so you met the other guy?
Yeah. He's actually from Chicago.
Where in Chicago? Well, you don't say where.
I don't know exactly where. He does stuff at Second City, though, and he works at Steppenwolf. So he's a real Chicago guy.
Nice. And he like flew in for it.
Yeah, he brought his parents, which was cute. But he only had one plus one, so his mom got to go to the show, and his dad had to like stay at the hotel.
Oh my god, that's so cute, though.
Yeah, it was really nice.
I like that. It like one guy got to like take his parents to. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, he was like young. He was like in his 20s. Really nice guy. But yeah, anyway, so this was really fun. John and I got like, holed up at the Hollywood Lowe's hotel for the whole weekend.
Nice.
We got tuxes. We went out to dinner. We got to see the show from the third mezzanine. unfortunately, I mean, the Oscars were, they were just like so boring, honestly. I can say that now. Mm. Like, it was a boring year.
I can say that. Is your NDA over?
There was no slap. There was no, you know, Faye Dunaway saying the wrong thing. It was, there was like nothing fun really that went on.
What a couple of years.
But it was still fun. It was still like super fun to go.
Yeah. You know, I do think it was a pretty good Oscars. I mean, in terms of just like everybody's mental health.
Sure. Because
they didn't, yeah, nothing crazy happened. And even like, you know, the Everything Everywhere All at Once sweep, which we've both shared our feelings about that movie. But I mean, it was very, you know, it felt very stable. Like, this is just the show where we give Everything Everywhere All at Once Oscars.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you could tell, and I'm sure you could probably tell this on TV too, but like in the room, you could tell that this was the, like, this had the most enthusiastic support by far.
Okay. So, cause I would be, how did you know? Like, I would think.
Cause the amount of applause, whenever anyone, any nomination announced, any win for Everything Everywhere, any person affiliated with that movie, it was like, everyone was just erupting in applause.
But who were these people? Because I thought that the people who went were just people who were nominated for other things.
Well, that's the other thing. So the whole like orchestra seats, like the ground floor, the thing, the everything you see on TV is, yeah, it's like people that are nominated or people that are like affiliated with the movies. Mm-hmm. But then the mezzanines is just who knows what the fuck's going on there.
I see.
We were sitting next to, I mean, it was a lot of like, like just like random old rich ladies who I'm sure like were either like they're like dead husbands, like worked on High Noon or something.
Yeah.
Or like a lot of like, I mean, not to like racially profile, but like a lot of like maybe like Saudi prince money type of action happening in the third mez.
Okay. I feel like that's where, in my imagination, when I know people, this might also be rude of me to say, but I feel like when I know people who are like work for some place, like they're like a publicist or they work for an agency or something and they get to go, I feel like maybe those people.
Well, I thought so too. And you know what? Those people might've been even below, like in the second mezzanine.
But
like
the where second we were, mezzanine.
Cause like I was picturing, yeah, I was thinking like, oh, junior agents or, you know, execs from the studios. And I figured that that would, those would be sort of like young people that would have been excited to go to the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
None of those, it wasn't those type of people where we were sitting. So maybe like, that was like a better, like the lower level of the mezzanine.
Well, because you were a VIP.
Well, no, I'm saying we had like, we were like in the side. I mean, there were definitely people above us because we were like row B of the third mez. So like, but we were on the side. We were in the highest section, like the worst section.
I see.
The only person I recognized in our section was Ken Lee, who's Lisa Vanderpump's like weird gay Botoxed Asian like party planner friend.
Okay.
And apparently she was there too, or at least she was at the parties afterwards, which we were not invited to any of the parties, which still pisses me off a little bit.
Yeah. But they should at least let you go to like, I don't know.
Governor's Ball. It was right there.
The Governor's Ball or like Elton John's party.
Yeah, I wish. I mean, I was like, I asked, we had like a handler who was like one of the, she like works for the Oscars. She was really nice.
Yeah.
But at one point I was like, can we get on the list for any of the parties? Mm-hmm. And she just like, you know, gently let me down and said, maybe if something changes.
Okay.
If like every movie star dies in a plane crash on the way to the Oscars.
Well, Kate Blanchett almost didn't make it because her driver got in a fist fight at the Hollywood Bowl parking lot and she had to go, she had to get a ride with another A-list actress and go wearing the same thing she wore to the ceremony because she didn't get to go and change. It was a blind item.
Interesting. So that's because I liked her outfit, but I did feel like it looked a little casual. Oh, you're saying after the Oscars?
She wore the same thing to the Oscars that she and to the party.
To the party.
She didn't go and change in between because her, or that's, I think it was her because it was a blind item, but she was the only one who was wearing the same thing. So everyone thinks
okay. That's the one I would have wanted to go, is the Vanity Fair party.
Mm.
But no, didn't happen. Well, I mean, it was still really fun.
Next year.
Next year. Yeah. I'll reinstate the fan favorite.
Well, maybe next year you'll just like be invited.
I know. I almost want to be like, because I know I have the email addresses to a couple of like the Oscar producers. I just want to be like, oh, can you give me a job? Can I just work for the Oscars? Yeah, can you get into like
writing on the Oscars?
Yeah, no, that's like, it's like people, I mean, that would be fun.
It's like, there's like UCB. Know for the fact that like, we've known people who've done
it. Oh, for sure. It's like, but they all work for Kimmel. It's just Kimmel's staff.
Oh, it's Kimmel. Yeah.
I'd have to like get hired on Kimmel first, which Okay,
this is like a multi-year plan now, but.
Because I think that's like, you know, Louis Vertel. He's like a gay comedy writer and podcast host, but he got hired to write on Kimmel. And I honestly think the only reason he wanted to write on that show was so he could work on the Oscars every year.
I mean, which is, I get it.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my week. And then, yeah, and then I went, you know, to Indian Wells to see tennis, which was really fun. In between the Oscars and the tennis tournament, I found out one of my teeth is dying.
A nightmare.
Heavily infected, and I have to get one of my teeth removed, guys. This is crazy.
I mean, I know, I said, when you told me that, I was like, yeah, I've had my wisdom teeth removed.
But I mean, I've had my wisdom teeth out,
no,
sure.
But I'm saying, like, I'm pretty sure I've had more than that removed,
really?
Too.
Well, how many molars do you have?
I don't know. I've had so much dental work. I have like fillings and I've had root canals. I've had so much shit.
See, I'm so virginal and innocent. I've never even had a cavity before.
Well, I guess, you know.
But I do want a gold
tooth. Your teeth couldn't take the pressure of perfection.
Exactly.
Cracking off.
It's like that straight A student that just becomes a meth head in, you know, middle age.
Yeah, exactly.
Should I get a gold tooth?
Yeah.
I might want one.
Well, no one's going to see it anyway, right?
Yeah. If I smile really big, maybe they would. But yeah, it's like the second to back molar.
Oh, that's way back there. You're fine. You just might need something as like a spacer. Because like if you lose a tooth back there, your teeth can shift around. Like you might get gaps in your teeth.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, oh, I see. Interesting. Well, it'll be quite a journey. And I'm sure everyone will be really excited to hear about my disgusting like oral surgery on this podcast. So I'll keep everyone posted. I promise.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like I've had like oral surgery while we were doing this podcast and like didn't bring it up because it wasn't a big deal for me. Because I've done it so much. I mean, I've just had a lot of oral surgery. I don't know.
I mean,
I'm just always afraid they're going to drop something down my throat.
Oh God.
Sorry. I shouldn't have put that in your head. But they won't. I mean, they never do.
I always just think of the Seinfeld episode where George gets molested while he's under.
Yeah, or that's Jerry. It's like they're having sex
with in front
dental
of him.
Hygienist, like while he's passed out.
Classic.
A classic.
Can't wait. So that was my week.
I guess I have a medical emergency too. This is a very goopy issue, watch, it'll turn out I have brain cancer and no one will be laughing, but we both
keel over at exactly the same.
I know. And then we finally just die like on the pot. We just say like Marianne 2024 and both just like face plunge into our laptops. I have been having these like dizzy spells for a year where like all of a sudden it's like, I feel like I just got off a roller coaster. Or like off a boat. And I don't know what's causing them. It's really weird. And so I've gone to the first thing I did about a year ago, I went to the emergency room and they gave me like this pill that you take when you have a dizzy spell. Obviously, that's not good enough for me. I'm like, I need to know why this is not okay. He's like, you have like an inner ear thing. I can tell from your symptoms. I'm like, fuck you. Also, I never took the pills because I never take any medicine. And also because the way they work, it's like you're supposed to take one when you have an episode and it's like it could just happen whenever, and so I don't like have them with me, and like by the time I go get them it might not be happening anymore, so it just like it wasn't like a good solution for that problem, but it went away and I forgot about it. Then about a month ago it started coming back and I was like, fuck. So I called Kaiser and I talked to a nurse. They sent me to a physical therapist who had me do these like exercises, like where you like lie down really fast and then sit up again. It's like this weird thing that's supposed to help with your dizzy spells. And I'm still like, why aren't you motherfuckers sending me to a fucking neurologist or at the very least an ENT or something? Like what the fuck? So they work for a little bit and then they stop. And I'm like, I need to go to an actual doctor. I finally get in. I see a doctor. I tell her my symptoms. She's like, I don't know. She's like, okay, I'm just going to refer you to a neurologist because I don't know. And I was like, okay, great. That's the thing everybody wants to hear. But I'm still happy that I'm going to go see an actual neurologist. I go to the neurologist. I tell her my symptoms. She is like, okay, so touch wood, this is what it is, because this is what she thinks. She's like, I just knocked on wood. She's like, I think it's migraines, which is the best case scenario. But she's like, but I'm going to give you a CT scan just to be sure. She's like, I don't think it's cancer. I don't think you had a stroke or anything like that. We'll just do a CT scan to check. Okay, so we're going to do a CT scan just to be sure. I feel like she's right. I'm just like, that's what I'm hoping. So that's my news.
No, I think that sounds like a good doctor to just cover every possible base. But yeah, this I'm sure it's something like that. Migraine.
I'm sure it's something like that, but we'll know for sure on Monday.
Right.
And I mean, like, hopefully, I guess, and also they're like, call us if you, they're like, she was like, you can look at it yourself. And if it looks weird, call us.
Look at the CD scan yourself?
Yeah, she's like, just read. She's like, don't read the front part, just read the back part. And what? I was like, I don't know what that means. See, this is...
How are you supposed to know?
I don't know, dude. You're supposed to be like your own... You literally need to go to medical school to have Kaiser Permanente because they will, like, they're just like, read your own tests and everything and call us if, you know,
that's
you can't
so weird.
Figure it out.
Because, like... At my dentist, they were showing me pictures of the x-ray and they were like, oh my God, like this tooth is fucked up. And to me, it looked like I really couldn't tell the difference between that tooth and the rest of them. And I was like, why are you even showing this to me?
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to call them regardless and just say like, I got my results. Can you talk to me about what this means? Because they were like, call us if you don't understand. And I'm going to just say, I don't understand.
I was just thinking, like, the longer we do this podcast, the older we're getting and the more health problems we're going to have.
Yeah, we're fine. By the end of it, we'll finally know what they were talking about and we'll be fully, fully shamed.
Yeah.
Because when we first started, we were really bitchy about, like, we thought everybody was crazy.
I know. And now it's biting us in the ass because it's, you know, age comes for all of us. Death comes for all of us. Illness comes for all of us.
Yeah.
So, okay, obviously, we all know why we're here. Goop has been in the news this week. This was like the biggest week in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, this was like big news.
It's funny, like at the beginning of when I first saw people post about like the pod, because it's just, this is crazy that it was Will Cole's podcast of all things. But, and the fact.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, they record their podcast and they put it on TikTok or whatever, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not stupid.
No.
He's not a stupid man.
But like, it sort of blew up in a way that even I, you know, I was surprised at how many people were weighing in on this stuff.
Okay, so does this, because this is like all over my list. Like most of my list is about this.
So maybe before we get into like the whole podcast episode and like what happened and what people were freaking out about, there are a couple of other little Goop tidbits that I wanted to maybe talk. So maybe we'll talk about those little things first and then because our lists are going to be just basically this stuff. So.
I'm so pissed just thinking about it.
Oh my God. My computer just said I have like -3 gigabytes and I need to like delete things immediately.
Oh, shit. What about this podcast?
I think it's fine. I think I just delete them and it works.
Okay.
I never know. Oh God. I'm such a, I don't know. Tech is not my friend. I think I was born at the wrong time. Okay. So before we get into Will Cole and all this stuff, there was one other little Gwyneth news item that went really under the radar that now I'm thinking like, oh, was this just a whole smokescreen to cover for this thing?
Okay. What was it?
I saw an article saying Gwyneth Paltrow trial in battle over ski slope crash with retired doctor set to begin next week.
This guy is still coming after her.
Do we we all remember this now from like literally the first year that we did this podcast?
From years ago.
2016.
He claimed that she skied into her, or she skied into him. That's what that's what he said. Yeah.
So this was in Park City. It's like a retired doctor. He claims that like she skied into him. She claims that he skied into her. She was like slightly injured and like skied off. And then he claims that it knocked him down hard, knocking him out, giving him a permanent traumatic brain injury, 4 broken ribs, pain, suffering, loss of enjoyment of life, emotional distress, and disfigurement.
Which is, there's no way in hell that's true.
So this was,
I just don't see how Gwyneth Paltrow skiing into you could even have any impact at all. Like, what could she possibly weigh? And he's like a big man.
Yeah, but he's like old. And if he like fell over and then like, I don't know, rolled down the hill and like hit a tree, I have no idea. But so
he's
this knows who he is,
and he's like, oh, she's got a ton of money. I want to sue her for everything.
But this has been going on for years now. And this trial, Gwyneth has to appear in court next week.
Okay.
So he's suing her. She's suing her for, let's see, $3.1 million. Oh, and then it says the remaining. So I think they've settled most of it. It says the remaining cause of action equates to a $300,000 claim against the actress. And then Paltrow is countersuing him for $1 in damages and attorney's fees.
What?
So like she doesn't want, she's countersuing him just to like pay for her attorney fees, basically.
Oh, $1 and.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So I saw that and I'm like, oh, if all this Will Cole stuff didn't happen, would this have been a bigger story? Like Gwyneth goes to court. I feel like that's like a big deal, but maybe not.
I don't think so because like this story, like we've talked about it was in the news. Like we've already heard all of it. I mean, even remember when that poor kid like caught on fire at her store? I mean,
I feel like that's working its way through the legal system. I feel like we haven't heard the last of that yet.
Probably not. But still, I feel like that is, I feel like her legal troubles, it's not what people care about with Gwyneth. Like they care about the stuff that we're going to talk about on this episode.
Yeah.
Her diet.
Her diet.
Her lifestyle.
And what she looks like. I mean, it's the same thing as, you know, every other famous woman gets raked through the coals, as we'll also talk about another famous woman, but that also made my list. So is there any other non-list stuff you want to talk about, or should, I mean, we just need to like get into it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess let's just get into it. My list is like a screed. It's just all of these different things.
So,
and I forgot about something that I definitely want to talk about, but I know it's going to be on your list, so I won't say what it is because I'll just wait for you. So my best of the week is, like, let's just start out light on Will Cole's podcast. I did like the part where Gwyneth was just sort of like listing her favorite types of IV. I just enjoyed watching that. And also, I just want to throw out this. I am probably the biggest Gwyneth Paltrow fan in the world. Okay. Maybe I'm sure there are crazier people than me, but I've been doing this with you for 7 years to an audience that is not large for no reason. And it's because we love Gwyneth and we love Goop. And I was not influenced by that. I just want to say, I don't know who the people are that the worrywarts and the scolders are talking about exactly, because if I wasn't influenced by that, then I don't know who was.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I thought, this is fun. This is a woman who knows her way around an IV. She knows what she likes, you know? And I thought that IVs were just, I thought when rich people got IVs, it was just either like, I have had one once. I've had like the B12. and they give, and I've had for like hydration, but okay. I always thought it was just for, I thought people just got it when they were like hungover.
Yeah, that's what I
didn't realize that people were getting it for like all kinds of stuff. And I also want to give a shout out to one of the haters. I'm not going to name too many people like by name, but this is one account that I actually do like. And I think she was of all the, and when I say hater, I mean, I say it with love. I'm not saying it as like a, she knows that she's an anti-Gwyneth account, whatever. But there's this girl that I do kind of like. Her name is Food Science Babe.
Oh, sure.
And I'm giving her best because she had the best take on this, the best skeptical take of the anti-interview TikTokers, which was that she said, it's ridiculous that she's talking about the nutrients that she gets from an IV while not eating, because all of the nutrients that she gets from the IV is available in food, which yeah. I was like, okay, that's a pretty solid point. I got to give that one to Food Science Babe, who I do think is, as these people go, I think a lot of them are kind of like hacks. They're like body positivity, like kind of influencers yeah. or whatever. But I do think that Food Science Babe is like pretty smart. And I like her.
Okay, I'll check her, because I've seen her stuff come up in the past, and it always is. It seems very like Gunter adjacent. And
It is. She's very, I mean, like she's sciencey, and she's very, yeah, and sometimes good. She goes too far too. Like once she made this video of herself like at a fair, and she was just eating nothing but these like deep fried corn dogs and all the stuff, and she was like, this is fine and blah, blah, blah. And I thought that was pretty annoying. But for the most part, she does a pretty good job of breaking down like the, like what people are actually talking about, like what ingredients, like the different levels of whatever toxic thing that people say is like in one product, but not another. And I think that I like her. Like, I think okay. she's, I don't know.
Cause so my, I guess my best is just that Gwyneth is in the zeitgeist again.
Okay.
And that like maybe because of all this publicity, a few new people will find their way over to our podcast. So I'm hoping, I mean, selfishly, I'm like, oh, maybe, you know,
that would
we'll,
be nice.
We'll get a few new listeners because of this. Who knows? I also, okay.
And if you're so, here because of that, then welcome.
Welcome. And hopefully, you know, as you'll find out soon, we are not Gwyneth haters at all. But
no.
We
and
love
if you're
her.
Of Gwyneth hate, then you're in the wrong place.
Yeah. We love her. And yet,
if you think that this is like, we're going to be like snarky and saying that like her lifestyle is bad and she's an almond mom, it's not, we're not going to do that. So that's
fucking
we don't
word.
Do that.
Almond. I never heard that before. Almond mom.
Yeah,
it's just like,
it's on TikTok. It's the young people. Yeah.
And they just are like, oh, cause they're so young that they had almond moms.
They're talking about their moms. Yeah.
Their moms like, were like, eat an almond.
Yeah. Like for a snack, they had a handful of almonds.
We had Snackwell's moms.
Yeah. And Snackwell's kids, because those things were good.
Yeah.
Those marshmallow, those like devil food cake cookie things. Oh my God.
I also have to say, before we get into more details about this podcast and the reactions to it, of course, Jen Gunter is going to come out with she came out fast and furious and like, she just missed the boat entirely because okay. she, for some reason, was just fixated on like the rectal ozone therapy. And she wrote her whole,
well, because it's more in her like region. Like she doesn't really know she doesn't really know about the top part sure. of the human body. She knows about the bottom.
The bottom.
Part,
so yeah.
That's what she's kind of,
hey, rectum. That's close to vagina.
It's really close. So yeah, she's like, yeah.
I'm not blindly following Gwyneth. I'm going to be very critical of a lot of things that she said, and more so a lot of things that fucking Will Cole said on this thing.
We're heterodox.
We're heterodox. We're the only sane.
We're the heterodox
moderates here.
Gwyneth Paltrow podcast, but we're only heterodox about Gwyneth Paltrow.
But of course, so the one thing that, the only interesting question that Will Cole asked, the only thing that was sort of fun and light was, he was like, oh, what's like the weirdest like wellness treatment you've got? And she was like, well, you know, I got ozone pumped up my butt. And then he said, mm-hmm. Oh, that's quite a Friday night. Oh, Will. But
that's like he had that He had that one scripted.
I'm sure. I guarantee the whole thing you. Was
he was scripted. Like, whenever she talks about something in her butt or whatever, I'm going to say that's quite a Friday night. He workshopped it. He's not coming up with that off the cuff. No. He's not. Will, okay, I'll talk about Will soon because we have our worst coming up and you know I'll get there. So whatever. But he did not make, he didn't come up with that.
No. And again, we'll get to him in more detail, but I'm so pissed off that everyone that is freaking out about what Gwyneth is saying and Gwyneth's supposed eating disorder, which might have some valid points to it. But I'm like, this is his doing. Like, he is the guru here. He is the Svengali. Wait. Blame Will.
You have to let me get to my work. Jumping ahead.
So that's my best was just Gwyneth's in the zeitgeist. Back in the, you know, the center of culture, and hopefully we'll get some new listeners. Okay, so now, without further ado, Agnes's worst.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, sorry, but this is, but you were getting too close. Like,
okay.
You were getting as close
I think we're on the same page here,
to a vagina to my worst, which is, why is Will Cole not getting any account of having any accountability? Why is it all on Gwyneth? Like, are none of these people who are like so up in arms about Gwyneth Paltrow saying she has bone broth and vegetables, are they not curious about the man who is interviewing her?
Like the one who is diagnosing her and is telling her to eat bone broth and vegetables.
Yes, because then this is like, I have a very long, yeah, this is, the list is, it, again, it is just, there's just so much. But why? So I'll just jump ahead for myself a little bit. My saddest was her like apologetic YouTube or Instagram story today.
Oh yeah. Her Ask Me Anything.
And someone was like, what's your response to like the backlash or whatever? And she got on there and she's like, I just want to remind everyone that this is a conversation that I was having with my doctor. Which is fucked up for a lot of levels. Number one, it kind of implies that like no one can criticize it because it's like a medical conversation, which it's not, because she was doing it on a podcast.
On a public forum.
You don't really get to say that was a conversation with my doctor, which implies that it's like somehow private, yeah. Which obviously it isn't. But then also my doctor is also a false statement, because Will Cole, again, as we've said several times on this podcast, is not a doctor. He is a chiropractor. That he's not an MD. I don't even know why he would tell you what to eat. I don't know what.
Well, it's like Gundry is a cardiologist and he's talking about fucking lectins. It's they see where the money is. It's crazy. I'm really actually worried Is she just seeing Will Cole as like she doesn't have an MD that she's going
she does,
to?
She does. For sure. There's no way in hell she doesn't have a real doctor. But this is the guy that she's hanging out with. She's giving money to. He's telling her what to eat. She's
one of my best friends in the world. I quote.
Also, like, you don't go on your doctor's podcast. You don't promote your doctor's book. You don't do your doctor's fucking meal plan.
She's publishing his book. The new Will Cole book is good press.
It's not a doctor-patient relationship. Mm. And again, he's a chiropractor who got into the bizarro diet game because it makes money. That's it.
But I felt that it's that Instagram thing. It was like the first time I felt a defensiveness from Gwyneth. And like, I can't remember the last time I think she was actually like taken aback at the backlash because
she's going through a change, a sad change. And I can't put my finger on what it is, but it's like, she used to even like we've lamented on this podcast how Gwyneth before her marriage, she had to Brad. She was more like fun. She would be like, oh yeah. Like she'd have these diets, but then she'd be like, I had a steak for dinner and red wine. And like, of course her famously had a cigarette every week and whatever. And then she got a little, she's getting a little older. So I understand.
Well, she says she had, believe women, she claims to have had long COVID for 2 years and which toxic is, mold. Okay. But I
and
really
is he
don't
treating her long COVID. Are yes. chiropractors treating long COVID? What is happening? This is topsy turvy.
This is crazy that she had long COVID and toxic mold. And it's interesting that the person that probably diagnosed her with both of those things is Will fucking Cole.
And is back to my worst. No one is using Will Cole's name. No one is like, who is this guy on she's talking to? Who is her alleged doctor who's telling her to fucking eat this way? It's all Gwyneth's fault and nothing with this, like, I'll save the comparison I was going to make for the Patreon because he's come for us before, but this guy, I'm not.
Yeah, I'll say the comparison. To me, it reminded me of Charles Manson and then the Manson girls. And yes, the Manson girls did kill the victims, but Charles Manson is the monster that you want to punish, so and Will Cole is the monster behind the monster.
So we, the viewers, are the victims. Gwyneth is the Manson girl, and Will is Charlie.
Yes, with a little bit of Brad is also Charlie. I really do think Brad Falchuk, allegedly, don't sue me.
This is why I'm telling you they all need to be Patreons because it's like I can't say it all.
Well, I'll just say we can save some thoughts for Patreon next week. I'll just say that I really don't think that whatever is going on between Gwyneth and her doctor, quote unquote, Will Cole, is bad. But I also think whatever is going on diet wise, I'm not saying their complete relationship. I don't know them. I don't know what their relationship is. But I'm saying the health and wellness aspect of her marriage with Brad Falchuk, whatever it is, codependency, enabling different disordered eating things, I really think that relationship is not healthy. I'll say that.
And just to play devil's advocate, because we are a heterodox Gwyneth Paltrow podcast, I would like to just say how many relationships, first of all, how many people in America have some sort of disordered eating in one way or another?
100%.
Probably 100% of every single person is crazy about food. But, and how many marriages or partnerships is another kind of eating disorder happening where you get into a relationship and all of a sudden you're like ordering takeout every night, let's go to McDonald's. Like literally this morning, me and Brian went to McDonald's for breakfast, which is, I have to say, was not a very common thing for us, but it did happen. Like we'll go down.
Oh, sure. No. And together. John and I, same thing, pizza. Oh, should we get it's Valentine's Day. Let's get a 2-pound box of See's candy.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know. Brian gets me a 1-pound box of See's candy for basically, he's buying me, let's say, 4 pounds a year of it. 3-4 pounds a year.
You guys are in a 4-pound relationship.
Well, I get like Christmas, my birthday, Valentine's Day. I guess 3 pounds. I'm a 3-pounder.
But yeah, no, everyone has fucked up food issues and relationships can compound them. You can either, yeah, there's enabling aspects there. Yeah, I don't know. So but like, whatever that, I just always remember that video of her taking that desiccated sweet potato from the refrigerator and saying, I'm stealing one of Brad's sweet potatoes.
Yeah, it was like not.
It's horrifying.
It's horrifying. And it's just like, it didn't feel like the old Gwyneth, who was all about like sensual pleasure.
No.
And it felt like wellness to Gwyneth, or like, and with Goop, was like an extension of that pleasure. That's what Goop is. That's why Goop is so appealing. It's because like, you're supposed to enjoy the process. It's not supposed to be like torturous and painful.
Yeah, it's making diet culture like luxurious and aspirational.
Yeah. And obviously there are like a lot of brands that do something similar, but it just because like their recipes were always really good and they always paired it with these really nice like other types of like skincare products and stuff you could do like while you were focusing on your eating or whatever. It felt more pleasure focused.
Yeah. And it felt more holistic now, and sort of adaptable to like a wide variety of, I don't know, just like lifestyles and this new thing. And again, I guess the difference is because she has suffering from quote unquote, according to Will Cole, long COVID with quote unquote, really high levels of inflammation which again, I don't know that actually means much. Really high levels of inflammation. Like does that mean?
Okay. Here's the only thing that my doctor ever said to me about inflammation, because I think that I've told you before, my doctor is Korean and she doesn't like to assign me, like she doesn't like to refer me to have many like tests. We were just talking about this, but I'm like insane and I'm a complete hypochondriac and I'm always asking for more. And I'm like, I need this blood test, this blah, 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 give me more and more, more. And she's like, look, where I grew up, there are these books that you can buy and they just have every single medical test that you can have. And people just buy them and go through and like a la carte, get every single thing. They're getting full body scans all the time. This is what my doctor told me. And she was like, the problem with overanalyzing your test is that your body will have inflammation in it all the time that could be caused by anything. And we don't really know what it is, but if it's not symptomatic, if you don't have symptoms, if you don't have anything harming you, but we can see that there's some inflammation, it can be from an allergic reaction. It can be from like a mild injury. It could be from just something with your body chemistry is off that one time and will change another time. So focusing too much on inflammation without any other.
Inflammation specifically meaning an immune response regarding your blood cell levels when you get blood work. Is that what they're talking about when they're saying inflammation?
I don't know. She said from like a scan, I thought maybe.
Yeah, but like, what are they? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what are they actually looking at?
I think it's just like anytime there's like a weird result that they don't know what it is, it's inflammation, I think.
But I think it's specifically certain, I guess, white blood cell, your leukocytes, there's like four or five different types of white blood cells. I think when those levels are elevated, I think that's what they're talking about when they say inflammation.
I don't know. It's a localized physical condition in which part of the body becomes red and swollen, hot, often painful, especially in reaction to an injury or infection.
But that's not what they're talking about.
That's not what they're talking about. But I think it is, but it just happens like in your like, okay. And then it also says a normal part of the body's response to injury or infection. Inflammation occurs when body releases chemicals that trigger an immune response that fight off infection or heal damaged tissue.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's like from like an injury or infection, or it could be from like all different reasons. So like the point is that like you could have all of this happening for whatever reason and they don't necessarily know why, but it doesn't matter.
It does. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a little personal story. The last time I had blood work done, I think I talked about it on this podcast, one of my blood cell levels was elevated, which means inflammation. And my doctor said, oh, were you recently sick? Are you fighting off an infection? I said, no, I don't think so. No. And so I sort of freaked out. I was like, what's going on? Now I realize it was my fucking tooth the whole time.
Oh.
that was fighting an infection. And that's why my leukocytes were elevated, because my tooth was infected. But like the fact that so that means that like any little part of your body could have something going on. And in that blood work, it comes back as inflammation. And you don't really know what it is. But for Gwyneth, who's having whatever it is that's going on in her blood work, Will is like, you have to completely change your diet, get rid of all these inflammatory foods, to the point where she's going full paleo, not eating like any carbs, basically. It's like vegetables, lean proteins. She can't even have her own fucking gluten-free pizza that she designed for Goop Kitchen. Well, Will is laughing all the way to the bank, talking about how great pepperoni pots is. And Gwyneth sadly responds, oh, I can't eat that. It has rice flour. I mean, that was tragic.
It's bleak.
And then when she talked about macrobiotics, she was like, oh yeah, like my nutritionist on Shakespeare in Love got me into macrobiotics, but it was a lot of rice. It made me gain weight, so I stopped.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Now I'm reading about inflammation. I don't know.
It's just a very vague term that like seems very scary. And yet like, I think it really is. I mean, it literally is an immune response to anything that could go, that anything that's going on in your body. And so who knows what's going on with Gwyneth?
Yeah, it could be caused by anything. And just like inflammation isn't enough information for like a medical diagnosis. I think that's the idea.
Yeah.
Like it just, but then there is this thing, chronic inflammation, but whatever. I don't know. We're not doctors. Obviously we're not doctors. We're so stupid, but we're trying to guess at what could possibly be going on. But the point is that speaking of inflammation, I just got a diet Coke, a tall boy of Diet Coke, my favorite treat in the world, handed to me. But yeah, sorry. What were we saying about inflammation?
It's like a very vague diagnosis that could mean anything. And the fact that like Will Cole, someone who is trained as a chiropractor, who really doesn't have like the traditional medical background. And he does. And like, again, like we're not total skeptics. Like, I do think that there's a very big relationship between like your overall health and your diet and your mental health and your physical health. And that's like Will's sort of thesis statement as a functional medicine practitioner. But like, I don't know. Something about that. And the people that were calling out this podcast, I don't think they understood. Like they were calling out the different sound bites and like, oh, she only eats, you know, bone broth for lunch and she has an eating disorder. And I'm like, oh, you're not seeing the whole picture here. This is a woman who is struggling. And like in a way that, at least in the years that we've been covering her, I don't think I've ever seen her like this.
No, it's scary. It is different. I feel like something is different now.
Yeah. And like, I don't know what she's feeling or like how this supposed long COVID that she had, like how it manifested, but she obviously was like, she's someone and I understand her and I empathize her completely because it's a very similar situation to what I went through. It's like, she lost her dad at an early age to cancer. And like, that freaks you out. Cause first of all, you're just really sad. But second of all, you're like, oh, there's a genetic element to cancer. Like, what can I do to prevent this from happening to me too? So like, she has spent the past whatever, like 20, 30 years on this quest for longevity, perfect health, whatever it is. And like, and in the last 2 years, whether it's long COVID or whether it's something else, something switched where no matter what she did, she still did not feel good. She was sick. Somehow she was sick. And Will swooped in and figured out a way to control her and to say, oh, if you do what I say, because you have shameflammation. If you do what I say and you cut out everything, you go totally paleo, this is going to help. And like, I don't know what her blood tests say, but I know from that podcast and that video that she's not healed. Something is broken in her.
Wow, Brian, that's really deep. Okay, wait, sorry. I have to say two more bad things about this week. Sorry, I'm going to open this Diet Coke. I'm just going to
do it. Let's hear it. Oh, yeah.
I know. Okay, so because of Gwyneth's, you know, so obviously there's like been a lot of TikToks, and I obviously am obsessed with TikTok. So I've been on it.
Oh yeah. I haven't seen any TikTok. What's the deal with TikTok?
Okay. So there have just been endless rage responses to this. And one of the worst ones, and I'm afraid of this person coming and like talking to me. I'm not going to say who it is. I honestly don't even know what her name is. If she figures it out, I'm sorry. I'm not famous. Please don't yell at me. Just like leave me alone. Dug up. There were a couple of things that somebody dug up. So one of them is that really old thing, that old quote of hers that she said she'd rather smoke crack than have cheese from a can.
Yeah, that's a funny joke.
Okay.
We've discussed this before. It's a joke.
And another thing that someone was upset about for some reason, where she said she would never, ever feed her kids McDonald's. She may have said something like over my dead body or something like that, which is not bad. I mean, I understand, you know, and then they get into it. Yes, I understand. There are some people who, for economic conditions, they can't give their kids anything other than McDonald's. They live in food deserts. They don't have childcare. They work. They need to. I mean, of course, I understand that there are reasons. There are reasons for the childhood obesity epidemic in this country that are systemic. But I think if you have a choice, somebody saying, I don't recommend it or I will not do that is okay.
Yeah. Well, and also like, I mean, I don't know, because I don't have kids and I'm not in like parent circles, but I think at least in LA and in New York and most big cities, like if you're at a certain socioeconomic bracket, if you're not going to give your kids McDonald's, or if you do give your kids McDonald's, it's going to be like hush hush. You're not going to like it is a status thing of like not eating fast food, which is like really fucked up because there are so many systemic issues around, you know, food deserts and food inequality. But it's true that like she's not like anyone that she socializes with or anyone that her kids go to school with. No, none of these people are having McDonald's, or if they do, it's like a naughty little thing, like, you know, once in a while that they don't talk to people about.
These people don't go to McDonald's. They don't go there. Rich people don't eat at McDonald's. I've actually, once a rich famous director when I was a kid did take me to McDonald's.
I mean, I think rich people do go to McDonald's sometimes as like a nostalgia thing, or as like a little, like as like a little fucked up thing to do, but it's not part of their
daily life. It's not like a once a week thing. It's not a common thing. Like, and now, especially probably less than when we were kids, I would bet.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was like only friends with like very like middle class people, but we all went to McDonald's and Burger King constantly.
When I was a kid, I didn't like McDonald's, which is insane. But I just would go because I wanted the toy.
Sure.
But, you know, times have changed because I straight up went this morning at like 8 o'clock. So.
Well, I had Del Taco last night. I'll confess that, because my Motel 6 was right across from a Del Taco, and I just did it. I just did it.
Well, yeah, I just did it too. I mean, I didn't have anything to, we recorded late, so I had the morning free, and I was like, well.
If we got our blood taken right now, the amount of inflammation coursing through our veins between my Red Bull.
And my Diet Coke.
My Del Taco, my donut that I had this morning. And then for lunch, John and I had like Italian deli sandwiches. I need a fucking bone broth and vegetable detox more than, I really need that.
Honestly, I might do it. Okay. And then I'm going to give, since my worst is just all over the place. Oh, sorry. The McDonald's thing isn't even, oh God, the McDonald's thing is so fucking stupid. Okay. I'm just going to tell you the take, even though I wanted to move on from this. I just want to finish it. So the end of the take is this. This person did digging and found out that McDonald's, Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop, imports products from a company that also imports products to McDonald's. And this was somehow like a smoking gun. They might do some manufacturing too. I'm not 100% sure what this company does. This was like a smoking gun on TikTok that Gwyneth is a complete fucking hypocrite because she probably definitely doesn't want you to know that they also do McDonald's, and she hates McDonald's, but it is McDonald's. And she gets her, and then the end of it, it turns into she gets her products from McDonald's.
Sure.
This is like the logical, these are like how they got, they somehow got there. So this is TikTok. This is how they kind of operate intellectually, whatever. But like, it's the opinion, I mean, it just, it's so out of control and out of hand. Like the anti-Gwyneth stuff out there is so stupid. I mean, it just, it's never been there. I feel like I already gave a compliment to what I thought was a good point about it. And I just need to say there also have been a lot of bad points made about it. And you can be critical, like the first girl, food science babe, when she's made that point, that was a good point. Okay, I will give her that. That was funny and smart. This other stuff is just out of control. It's just these conspiracy theories and all this stuff, it's just out of control.
Yeah, and I mean, it's everyone has unhinged takes when they talk about Gwyneth, but I have to say she's not doing herself any favors continuing this relationship with Will Cole.
Will Cole, my God.
And like,
oh. And just to give my other fair, also to be fair, the people who went then were defending her, which of course we love anyone who defends Gwyneth, but the people who were defending her and saying, she's just saying that she has soup and then meat and vegetables weren't, I don't think that was entirely honest either, because bone broth isn't soup. Bone broth is like a 10 calorie drink, which is fine if she doesn't want to eat until dinner or whatever, but I don't think it's 100%. I don't think it's totally like honest to say, well, she's just having soup for lunch, because,
well, she said really soup or bone broth.
Oh, she did.
She said like she likes soup for lunch. And then she says a lot of days I have bone broth. So yeah.
Oh, I see.
Broth. Yeah. Cause soup is broth with other things in it that like has nutrition.
Just broth alone is, I wouldn't call that like sipping some broth isn't the same thing as having
soup.
Soup.
A lobster bisque, a mulligatawny, a matzo ball. Whatever.
Like something with some calories. Yeah. Like it doesn't.
No, and that's the thing. It's like what she did describe, if that's truly, and she claims in her Instagram live that like, oh no, I don't eat like that every day. Like I still indulge, blah, blah, blah.
That was okay.
But that's not what it seemed. And maybe it's like, because she was having a conversation. You know how when you say to your doctor, oh, how many drinks do you have every week? And you're like, oh, you know, like 2 to 3. Like she was having a conversation with her doctor. So she's like, Dr. Cole, no, I just have my bone broth and my, you know, sea vegetables and poached salmon every night. Just like, no, you say, Dr. Cole.
I don't agree with that. I think that's probably worse than what she said on the podcast. It would be my guess. But she also said, cause I thought it down again to my saddest again, this is everywhere.
Yeah. We just have to do everything everywhere all at once.
All at once. She, when she was on her like Instagram story and she's like, I mean, I eat other stuff and, you know, French fries or whatever. I just thought that was so sad. Like this woman is not eating French fries. And she was just trying to come up with something.
Up
like,
with
what
the
do
food,
people want to hear from me? Yeah. I like French fries. It's like, no, she's not eating French fries. She probably hasn't had a French fry in 10 years, minimum, whatever. Like there's no way.
I want to know. Cause now I always bought into the thing of, oh, she does this sometimes, but then she indulges and she actually has a really healthy relationship to food. And like, everyone's going to think I'm just like so stupid because I'm just realizing I do think, I mean, like we said, something has shifted, but yeah, when she said the word French fry, she's not that good of an actor.
She was cold.
Yeah. It was.
Like, she didn't say it with like,
there was no sense memory.
She didn't seem comfortable with it. And if she was really having French, it just the way that she was saying, it's like, you don't, because like,
well, because it's like, there's
what occasion are you eating these French fries?
And there's like such a big difference between just sipping bone broth and vegetables and then having like deep fried food. Like, just say, oh, I had like, you know, a chicken breast and a mashed potato and like baked potato, or,
well, because that's how it used to be. Like, yeah. So I do think that she's always played up the like cool girl who eats whatever she wants thing, of course, because no one can really do that. But I think that she, did have a true like love of food and cared about those recipes that she developed. And I think her detox recipes have been like taste wise, just very good. Like they taste good. But I think that like, even when she was talking about like her being bad or whatever, it would be like paella or something. I don't think it was like, again, like, I don't think she was going to McDonald's. I don't think she was eating like fries.
No, she would have, if she was in Paris and she was at a bistro And this was before she met Brad. So if Chris or Apple wanted some, you know, pommes frites, she would take a few. She might even dip one in mayonnaise. But it would be like she'd do three or four at most.
Sure. Whatever was going on, I could just tell by the way that she said it, she's not a French fry eater. She probably never really has been. It's fine. But I just feel like the people are like demanding so much of her that she had to just like come and say this untrue bullshit.
I've literally never seen her like that, like she was today. Because usually she's like, oh, you know, I don't listen to the haters. And you really do believe that she doesn't listen to the haters. And
I don't even think she's aware of them most of the time.
Yeah. And then this time it was like, oh, something broke through. And she did feel like, she felt like, oh, is what I'm doing wrong? Like because she really seems lost. And like Will seems so confident in his ability to like heal her. And
I mean, I don't think she's sick.
No, she's like, I'm sure a perfectly healthy, you know, more so than 90% of the population person. She just seems unhappy. Like, I don't know. Food is pleasurable. And she really feels like for some reason, whatever pleasure she derived from food is something that's like making her sick. And I really just hope that like she figures out that this guy's a charlatan. I don't know what it's going to take. Who in her life, if anyone, I'm sure no one who's listening to this podcast like knows Gwyneth in real life or is friends with her, but like, should you stage an intervention? Like, what's going on?
A Will Cole intervention?
A Will Cole intervention. Like, come on. Like, Apple, Moses, like, what do you guys can't like him? I mean, you
there's must no think way he's Apple likes Will Cole.
Ew, and then he's like, oh, and I just have to tell you, your kids are the most well-behaved, respectful, and I hate when adults claim
also
like,
Apple is like 19.
Like, yeah, like
she doesn't need to be well-behaved or respectful. And it's like they don't they shouldn't respect you.
No, and like sometimes adults really think that's the highest compliment that you can pay a kid is that you're well-behaved or respectful.
Also,
that's
whenever kids so are well-behaved up. And respectful around you, it's because they hate you and they just like don't want it. They want you to like just like them and like leave them alone.
Disengage. Ugh. I don't know. Somebody from her former, older friend. I mean, she has these old friends like pre-Brad, pre-Will. Maybe Chris needs to come back and like not talk some sense into her. I don't know what's going on, but this is rough. And I really wanted to, when I first saw the response, and this is before I'd listened to the whole podcast, I'd just seen the clips. I was obviously like very defensive of Gwyneth as I am. And I'm like, you guys are, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Like, she's fine. You're just taking things out of context. But then when I listened to the whole podcast, I listened to it this morning in the car when I was driving home. And oh, this is much worse than I thought. This is really bad.
It was bad. It was bad. We'll give you that. Yeah. It was bad.
It's just not bad for the same reasons that you're thinking it's bad.
It's not bad because she's a monster. It's bad because she seems like she's going through something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because her old Gwyneth and like things that she would say that people would get pissed off about, it was just like kind of fun. And this feels like just not fun.
No and all these things are coming together now. Like, I understand why they're not developing new recipes, because like, what would they even develop? Like, what could they do?
Brad's sweet potatoes, like, what are they gonna do?
Just like bone broth, like plain
bone broth.
I mean, because I'm sure that whatever like the algorithm or like the metrics, whoever's like doing SEO like on Goop knows whenever Will Cole publishes a recipe, it's like zero views, zero clicks.
Well, because it's like a ketotarian. It's like either it's like an egg baked into an avocado or now just like bone broth.
Ugh. And then when Will also said, he's like, oh, I keep telling you, you don't need to be so strict about your diet. That is the definition of gaslighting.
That is exactly gaslighting, because he is telling her.
That's exactly what he's telling her. He's the one who's telling her.
Who else?
And then Brad. He literally says, I keep telling you, you can have that stuff once in a while. Gaslighting.
There's no way.
Oh my God. This is
really
dark.
Way. There's no way he's saying that to her.
So yeah, that was your worst. Okay.
And my crate, just a lot. Yeah, oh, my runner up for worst also was just a quick shout out to those lunchtime grain bowls. Those were bleak as well. But
oh yeah.
Just one newsletter thing.
My saddest is Gwyneth's eating disorder.
Sad.
I think we already went over all this stuff. Oh, the other sad moment on her Instagram live today was like, God, someone asked her, what condiments do you make? Which is such a weird question to begin with. Like, so out of the blue. What condiments do you, I mean, I can understand like, what condiments do you have in your fridge? But like, what condiments do you make is so weird.
Well, because they know that she's not buying anything.
No, she's not buying. And then she only had one. And she's like, it's called Lee's Healthy Hoisin.
Okay.
And it's literally just miso and like a little bit of like canola oil. It's so gross.
Wait, so she eats seed oils?
That's, well, I don't know. I think she gets that Zero Acre Farms because Will had a Zero Acre Farms commercial on his podcast.
But that's not canola oil.
No, it's bug oil.
But she said canola.
Well, the recipe was for Lee's Healthy Hoisin, which was in her first book, It's All Good, which was obviously published way before anyone knew the true dangers of seed oils. So I don't know in 2023 if she's using the canola oil, but this was like a, whatever, 2014 or whenever this book came out.
Wow.
But it was literally, I mean, the recipes. It was bleak then. It's bleak now.
It's bleak now. There's also another thing that people were getting pissed about on TikTok where another woman did this cute thing where she was like, before dinner, my kids hate vegetables. So I set this up. I make lettuce, chips, and dip, and they eat it when they're waiting for dinner. And she just like chops up a thing of romaine lettuce and she makes like an Italian vinaigrette.
Okay.
And they just eat it like chips and dip.
Oh, God.
Which... people were like also angry about that because they were like, this is an eating disorder, blah, blah, blah. It's not food, but it's basically like a salad before you dinner, but they just eat it in this weird way. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you say, oh, that's a salad, that's like totally normal. But if you say, oh, this is a fun snack for my kids, that's something.
It seems weird. But she said it was like to get them to eat vegetables because they don't eat them at dinner. So whatever.
That's fine. That's part of a parent's job is to get your kids to eat vegetables. Sorry. Yeah, that's not body positive.
Career out of it.
Oh my God. Okay. So I think we really like covered everything.
I mean, what more could we possibly say? Is there more? I'm scared. I'm genuinely scared about this one as well. I literally hate every podcast that isn't Patreon. I don't want anyone to listen to this unless you're like a true like friend of ours.
Oh, everyone
who's like looking for information about this to come and find us and then yell at us because we didn't say what they wanted us to say.
But you know, we can't be afraid of that. We're as a heterodox podcast, we're gonna have some haters too. So I still have a try and a buy that we'll get to, but I do want to maybe pivot just a little bit to my worst, which surprisingly didn't actually have to do with this whole Michigas about the Will Cole interview.
Mm-hmm.
My worst was the Politico hit job on our future president, first female president of the United States, number 47th president. I am proudly wearing her hoodie, which I received in the mail today. Marianne Williamson is getting a little too powerful for the status quo.
I think it's a good sign because she's been getting, first the White House attacked her, then this thing about her throwing phones and whatever. I mean, they're scared of Marianne.
If they didn't care,
they wouldn't say anything about her.
Yeah, it's sort of surprising because, like, as a Marianne supporter, I mentioned previously, I'm not delusional. Like, she's not going to win the nomination, or is she?
Unless we work really hard.
But like, yeah, it does seem. I was surprised that Politico had such a big article about her, in order to like, to talk about this stuff. And again, is all this stuff 100% false? Yeah, probably not. I do think you have to be a megalomaniac and a narcissist to run for president.
Yeah. And like, Marianne, it's, look, it doesn't matter. It just, it doesn't fucking matter. I'm sure that she has a bunch of skeletons in her closet. I'm sure that she's an imperfect person. Probably not as imperfect as most of the people who've been president of the United States, but probably pretty imperfect. But that's not really the point. Like, the point is what her platform is, which we love. So that's, and that's what people, they don't want you to talk about what Marianne Williamson is actually saying. They want you to think Marianne Williamson is this like crazy bitch who like believes in, you know, crystals and fortune telling, and who is also, you know, an anti-vaxxer, and who denied, like, an AIDS denier. Yeah,
killed AIDS patients by denying them medicine.
And also, oh,
and hates fat people because she wrote a diet book.
She wrote a diet book. And what else?
Oh, just that she's a kook. It's one of, I mean, so the way to destroy female politicians, you're either a bitch or you're a kook. And so far she's always been the kook. But now
the fact that they're elevating her to bitch to me is like, I mean, Hillary Clinton was a bitch. I mean, that's the major leagues.
She's in good company throwing phones.
Yeah.
Globe, Hillary.
Yeah.
But like, and some of this, I remember some of this was reported in 2020. Like, this isn't new, though. It's interesting. All of these are anonymous sources, except for one person went on the record who was like her former campaign manager from New Hampshire. And then there was an email that they got, not from the source himself, but through another channel that had a back and forth where Marianne sort of, she didn't like admit to things specifically, but she was like, basically like, I'm sorry you feel that way. She also admitted to have taken herself to urgent care after she punched the side of a car when she was angry. But then she said, a car is not a person.
She was passionate.
So like, and I can't imagine how much pressure you're going through. Even, you know, a campaign on the size of Marianne's, it's still really intense. And like, again, I'm sure she's a narcissist. I'm sure she's a megalomaniac. They all are. They all are fucking psychopaths. And yet, who is talking about income inequality? Who is talking about peace?
He's talking about reparations.
Is talking about reparations? Who is talking about sociopathic economic system called capitalism?
I mean, just hit dead on every single time. Everything she says is she's right. So, she's right about everything. And that's why they're saying she's crazy.
Yeah, so like, would I want to work for her? Absolutely not. I don't want to be a fucking
I work for her in a fucking heartbeat. Like, what does she want me to do? I'll do it.
Oh, you would? I mean, I'd be scared of her, honestly. I
can take it.
You could take it. Maybe
now
I'm
looking up Marianne Williamson jobs.
Marianne Williamson jobs. Maybe there's some openings now after a few people were hit by a phone.
Like, pray together.
And I think why this, so it's, they obviously realize that she's gaining some sort of traction to do this. Mm-hmm. But I think why this could sort of hurt her in a way that like Hillary, or like, I don't think like Amy Klobuchar was really hurt, because those conformed to like the preconceptions of that people had about them anyway. Whereas Marianne always presents herself as like a very sort of like gentle, healing, peaceful person. So I do think that like this could like be sort of problematic for her going forward.
I disagree, because I think that her being a little bit, I don't know, to me, the stories about her like having like rage issues or whatever, it makes her feel a little bit more like fierce, you know, and like she's a fighter and she's passionate, as opposed to like, I think the other ideas were that she was just like batshit insane and like kind of was like a psychic or something. Like, no one really knew what she was about. But at least if there are these stories that she's like really angry about stuff. Maybe people are like, what is she angry about? Oh, she's angry. She's not being taken seriously because like her, read her, you know, her policies.
Well, she's like angry that she doesn't get a bathtub in her hotel room is what they said.
Well, she also should get a fucking bathtub. Yeah.
It's Marianne Williamson. What is she going to stand, take a shower like a peasant?
But it's also, you know, she's stressed out. She's stressed
as we
out
all would be. If I was running for president,
I would be
a mess. I couldn't even imagine.
I can barely do this podcast.
So, this doesn't change anything between me and Marianne. Like you said, yeah, it makes her a fighter.
She's a fighter, and I love her.
Do you think Biden will debate her? No.
No, because they're so smug and condescending. I mean, I don't think that he'll have to.
No, I mean, I do think she could. I feel like she could get like 15 to 20% in New Hampshire, like the, you know what I mean? Like that type of thing. And then like fizzle out.
I think it's going to be, I think Marianne Williamson beating like an incumbent president of in her own party is going to be pretty hard. But or like even getting 15% in New Hampshire, I think would be like unlikely. I think that she, I don't even know. I'll be honest. I don't even know if she's going to get there, but I will support her as long as she's in the race.
I got my sweatshirt. No one can take that away from me.
No, exactly. Cause you did you took your old one away from yourself.
I'm still mad at myself for, it was just stained. I wasn't going to wear it anymore. It was like really badly stained. I had so many just like mustard, like cause I wore the shit out of that shirt for 4 years. Oh, well,
I still have mine, but I don't.
I'm hoping, you know, when she comes to LA, she'll have a wide variety of merch.
That's where we got our shirts the first time. Cause yeah. She had really good ones.
They were so elegant. All right. Well,
okay.
That's the deal with Marianne. I mean, this article was definitely a compliment. It was like, okay, she's in the big leagues now.
She is.
She's a bitch. A dangerous bitch. Where are we at? Try.
Oh yeah. I would try the like light meditation thing.
Oh.
It's like where you like have like a psychedelic experience because they like shine lights in your eye.
That's cool.
And there's like a spa in Santa Monica that does it. I don't know how much it costs, but I would love to try it.
I still need to do, I said I was gonna do the TM class this year. I keep getting because I must have been on the website hovering, so now I get like Instagram ads for it like constantly.
I get Instagram ads for it all the time as well. I get Instagram ads for the David Lynch MFA and screenwriting.
Oh my God.
It's like, that's like at like the like Maharishi like
school. Oh, I honestly want to go to that.
I know. I really.
That does sound really nice.
I mean, you just like you do TM.
And then just and then like screenwriting. Stream of consciousness.
I don't really know. And then I think you maybe get to like meet David Lynch or like he lectures or he does like a workshop with you.
The thing with David Lynch is like, he's not at all articulate about his own artistic process, which he shouldn't be. He's a genius. Like that's the thing with David Lynch is like, if any other person tried to do a David Lynch movie, it would be the biggest pile of shit you'd ever seen in your life. So it's like only like anyone who's just like, oh, I'm going to like, just sort of like recount my dreams and like do like random shit and make it sort of scary and beautiful and funny all at the same time. Like you can't do that. Only
well,
David Lynch
he's
can
like,
do that.
He's actually like very like, sorry, whatever. It doesn't matter. He's like a great director.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think the screenwriting would be, it's kind of more interesting that it's a screenwriting class, I think, or a screenwriting program.
Yeah. Cause this, yeah.
I mean, that's because I really feel like David Lynch's like power is like in being kind of like a writer and director.
Yeah. But especially the images, like.
Well, yeah. And I think that's kind of what makes him be able to like communicate those ideas so well is like he's like a really very, very skilled like director.
Totally.
If he just like was like sending those scripts out, I don't think that he would be where he is today.
I know that's the thing is like if you're doing that, you sort of have to be a writer director or have a director that you like trust completely that you are sort of like a team, because you're not going to just like be able to like enter screenplay competitions and
get
an agent. Yeah.
Maybe you could. I don't know.
I mean, who knows? All right. So I have sort of an anti-try and morphing into a try. And it was this, how dare you, Goop, fucking republish the Seamus article again? Like, just stop. Don't talk about food. Don't talk about cooking. I don't want to see a recipe from you. 3 packable lunch bowls to prevent the 4 o'clock slump, written by Seamus Mullet. And then
this was my shout out for my worst.
Yes, your worst. Exactly. Yeah. And it's so it says published date. It says updated March 6th, 2023.
What does that even mean?
Updated with what? So I would never do these look gross. One of them is a sardine and avocado bowl. One of them, farro and tuna, fine. And Greekish wild. I mean, they look okay, whatever. But
they all seem really sad to me.
I'd rather
have a mug of bone broth.
Yeah, I'm surprised Seamus. I wonder if he like renounced his paleo thing or something, like, because it does seem like
not paleo.
Oh, that's true. Oh, but it's but he's all about like the whole grains without the, because he says the wild rice bowl is good because wild rice has way fewer carbs than regular rice. I don't know what he was doing.
But the whole whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But I do. So what I do need to try is, I'm getting to the point where I'm extremely sick of my daily gruel that I eat my lunch, which is spinach and or kale with chicken breast, chickpeas, roasted cauliflower, farro, pecorino, dried cranberries, and walnuts. And it was fine for a while, but I'm like, I need a spring version. I need like something fresh and different. So I was like, I need to find a recipe because I'm not creative enough to make it up on my own. So I found this food blog, classic food blog, Plays Well With Butter. Have you heard of that one?
No. That sounds like a real like Gwyneth 2.0, like paleo running mama style.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think she has any like dietary restrictions. It's just like nom nom yum yum, like healthy, somewhat weekday food. Okay. And this one's called the Spring Goddess Grain Bowl. And I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to eat for the next 3 months, I've decided. So it's, you do your farro, you do your boneless, skinless chicken breast, and then you do asparagus and spring peas. And then you do like a green mix. I might just stick with the spinach. Thinly sliced radish. And then you make a lemon vinaigrette. I was like, that looks good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I might beef it up and add some more, you know, cheese or nuts or something. Maybe even I might even add the chickpeas back, depending if I need the protein. But I'm gonna start there and go from there. Jump off with what's it called again? Mixes well with butter. Plays well with butter. There
plays well with butter. Okay, that makes sense. Ooh, wow.
So that's my try. All right, what's your buy?
I would buy, now I want to do bone broth.
Well, but here's my
problem. I don't like bone broth. I think bone broth tastes like shit. And I think bone broth is basically the same thing as a stock.
Yeah.
But stock tastes good and broth tastes bad.
Someone defined the difference between stock and broth for me once. And I don't remember what it was. I
think it's because like it's cooked with like the bones and has like the collagen and stuff in it.
Yeah.
But that, and I think like if you make a broth, you like skim it. If you leave it, it's a stock. But bone broth is stock. They just call it bone broth. But it's the same. Bone broth and stock are the same thing. Regular broth is something else.
And recipes for bone broth, you're cooking the bones. Well, first of all,
I'm not ever gonna make it myself.
Like you're like a regular stock or whatever, you're cooking meat and bones, you're cooking sort of everything. I think the bone broth, it's like you just get the bones and then you cook it for like a shitload of time. Like it's like all it's like, I remember when bone broth first became popular, like 10 years ago, the recipes were like 12 hours, 24 hours. It was like insane.
Right.
I don't know. I could take it or leave it. I like it doesn't gross me out, but I'm also like, I don't think it does anything special for me.
No, I don't think it does anything special for me either, but it's like, I also think if you buy beef broth or chicken broth, I think you can beat the system and not have to spend all that fucking money. And they put salt in it. Cause I think the reason that the bone broth tastes so bad is cause they don't put salt in it.
Oh yeah. I remember when I made bone broth, they said to put like a tablespoon of cider vinegar. Cause that helps like get all the collagen out from the bones.
Oh, interesting. I don't know. I've tried so many different kinds. I think so much of it tastes like shit. I'm just going to start buying Pacific Foods organic stock
and just having
that and just saying, oh, it's my bone broth.
Or you could just chew on bouillon cubes.
I'll just have bouillon cubes. I mean, if you get the stock, it's $2.46 for like a 32 ounce thing of it.
Right.
And then same company, same size.
Oh, for bone broth.
For bone broth, it's $7.30.
Oh, fuck them.
Same company.
That's worth tax.
We're getting ripped off here.
Oh yeah, no, people knew that for years. I think literally Gwyneth is the only person. Like I don't think it's that popular anymore. Goop Kitchen only sells it, I think, because now that's the only thing that she can eat on the menu. She can't have shit.
I mean, people still have it, you know. People are still out there with their bone broth.
I don't know.
It's not going anywhere. It exploded. It's huge now.
Sure, sure.
And it's like you can get it at Walmart and stuff.
Oh yeah, because all of those like right wing.
They're all paleo. Carnivore
people. They're all doing bone broth. It is so funny that like the like crazy health people now are all like fascists.
It's not really true. I mean, like statistically, whatever, we don't need to get into it, but it's not entirely true. I think it's just like a lot of things. It's just the people who are the loudest on the internet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't think it's really, that's like a true reflection of the Republican Party.
Do you have an Instant Pot?
Yes.
You could easily make bone broth in that.
I don't care. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Just saying.
I don't want to do it. I would be disgusted. I would never eat it. And I also think it would cost me more than just buying a carton of it.
Go to your local butcher and say, oh, do you have any scraps that you're going to throw away?
I'm not going to do it. No. First of all, I don't have a local butcher. My local butcher is Whole Foods. And they're not going to give me scraps. They don't even give you Parmesan rinds. They cut the rinds off the Parmesan and sell it to you. So they're not going to give me their bones for broth.
I have a ton of Parmesan rinds in my freezer.
I'll put that in your stock. That's good.
It is. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
In a pot of beans, jammy, brothy beans.
Yeah, just have your jammy, brothy beans, your bone broth.
Did you see, what's her face? The blonde woman from Bon Appetit. Why can't I ever remember her name? Molly Boz. She has a new cookbook already that's called Boz It Up. And it's just like, it's like why my food is like more flavorful than everything else. And it has that horrible like psychedelic font that like everything has right now.
It's going to look, that shit is all going to look so dated like really soon. What is, when, but when did her last one come out?
I think only like less than 2 years ago.
Okay.
She does have some good recipes. Her personality bugs me.
I've never made any of her recipes.
All right. I would buy, this is from Jean's, this is Jean's recommendation for the, like, you know, they have the monthly, like what our beauty editors are obsessing over this month. So Jean's pick, and again, I'm just going to read her words because they're better than anything I could think of. My friend Sophie is one of those ultra or unfrilly cool girls who backpack, never check a suitcase. We get like no time off for vacation in America. Why I'd spend time standing around a conveyor belt at an airport, she says, and go winter camping. You couldn't pay me to shiver the night away in a tent in the trees, but I figured out how to glamorously travel light. Instead of my usual 1,000-pound load of essentials, cleanser, face cream, body oil, hair oil, I bring along this single brilliant multitasking oil. I bring along, it leaves my skin, I should say what it's called. It's called, I can't pronounce it, Lihadian oil, Lihaidan. It looks like, it looks like an Erewhon smoothie or like a jug of milk from the 50s. It's like in a glass
bottle. Okay. So you're like in a glass bottle.
Yeah, in a glass bottle. It smells out of this world. Night blooming tuberose flowers are soaked in an intensely moisturizing cold pressed coconut oil base. Melts in beautifully, is incredible at taming frizz while I smooth through my ends and edges. So it's face, body, hair.
That's too, don't buy it.
No, but it's the only thing. If you're just, I'll just say, you know, no, I was in Indian Wells yesterday, just took an overnight bag. I didn't want to bring all my fucking tinctures and lotions and stuff. So I didn't even do like, I didn't put on anything last night on my face because I was like, I don't have it. I'm just going to brush my teeth and go to sleep. If I had this fucking thing, I could just sling it anywhere I went. And it's 3.38 ounces. So you could, you know, take it through security.
Fine, but get like sample size stuff or something. The 3-in-1s, 2-in-1s, it's don't do it. Don't do it. Or just bring a jug of fucking coconut oil and just use that.
And just lather that up. Yeah, I guess you could just do anything and just use it.
Yeah.
But the name Idan means magic in Yoruba. The founders wanted to honor their Nigerian roots, which is just so spot on. Magic. Get it?
I don't.
There's nothing to get. And also it's $55 for like a sample size.
I mean, I don't know. I just in general am like an anti 2-in-1 like combination product
person. I get it, but it's just like when you're traveling, it's just like, what do you bring? Your whole DOP kit? Do you just take a few things? It's just like it's a struggle.
I have some sample size things. Oh, also, like I guess it is harder for men. One good thing is that I have those fucking Ipsy bags, which I canceled and then restarted somehow, and most of it is just like I don't even use it, but there's always like face wash and lotion and stuff, and then I have like some shampoo from like hotels, and I just have like I have some like little things I can sort of throw together. But I don't know.
Oh guys, what will become of us? What will become?
I don't know. I'm nervous about this one too. I get scared about releasing.
Oh, no one. There's so much shit about her this week. They're never, and we didn't even say.
We'll get to us. Okay. I just like I don't want because I never want. You know, Will Cole is the only person who's ever yelled at us and come.
Says he, Will. It says something about him.
But I'm just like you know people are just so touchy, and you know if you disagree with them about something, they get really mad.
Yeah, let them be mad.
You're right.
We know who we are. We know what we stand for.
I mean, I think that we gave a pretty fair and balanced.
As the great Bill O'Reilly
response. Yeah. And that's the term. Fair and balanced.
No, we are truly the only fair and balanced Gwyneth coverage in the world, in the universe.
In the world.
Everyone is a fucking psychopath, an extremist.
An extremist.
Pro, con, like.
Whatever just, it is.
No.
But we're like, you know, we can put our emotions aside and really like analyze her behavior for what it is.
Exactly. Because we study her.
Because we study
we have her. Studied
we're her. Anthropologists.
Okay, guys. We love you. Join the Patreon because every passing week, Agnes likes doing these ones less and less. So,
and I'm pushing for even less of them because I get scared.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.